right, morning. There you go, Mike. Yeah, that's just to say a couple things about Anne Marie. You know, there's mixed emotions with, you have someone you know is saved, and you know where they're at, but then there's family left that's, you know, that is missing a loved one. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. And she was so happy. I know when we found out, I told Mary Beth. Mary Beth was out of town, and she said, "Man, I was just with her on Tuesday night, and we were laughing and having a good time." And just, you never know. That's why it's so important. Be prepared. Better be prepared to meet God. You never know when that time comes. So, with those, you know, Anne Marie passing, and we've got there's several things going on with the folks here. You know, we got Barry and Nancy. Barry's getting ready to go through chemo, radiation, and I don't know if you guys know, Ralph just had surgery Friday on. Maybe I don't think it's not cancer, but surgery to relieve some pressure and several things. So I was reading, you know, been going through Amos, and I'll be honest with you, Amos is he's rough, and I just didn't really get enough out of what I was reading to do something today. And I was reading something else in Genesis. I don't usually preach this way. Where you take a story in the Bible, you take a history, and liken it to, I guess, make an allegory out of it to Christian life. But in Genesis chapter 26, this is where we'll be, Genesis 26 and verse 17. With all the things going on lately, this really stuck out. It's Isaac farming and finding a well in a valley. And it's a very good illustration of the Christian life and farming life's valleys. If you live life, you will go through a valley. And there's more valuable things that you'll find in the valley than what you'll find on the mountaintop. And that's kind of the illustration of these verses here. But Genesis chapter 26, I mean, this is a real history. This is a historical event. And I'll just read the events here. And the subject this morning, to put a theme on it, put a title on it, is simply Farming Life's Valleys. Farming Life's Valleys. If you're saved, there's an opportunity to do that. There's an opportunity to get some things out of some low points in life. And if you're not saved, first thing to do is to get saved. Trust Jesus Christ. And then make use of the valleys. It would be very unfortunate to go through valleys and never have any value come out of those valleys. Genesis chapter 26, look in verse 17. Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So not just a water table, but a well that was flowing out with water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. All right, let's pray and talk to you this morning about farming life's valleys. Father, I pray this morning that you'd feed your flock, Lord. You'd take care of us the way we need to be taken care of. Father, I pray we would get out of these verses what you want us to get out of them. Lord, I lift up Anne Marie's family, lift up the girls, Christiana, Angelina, lift up her husband, Chris, who's not saved. Father, I pray that this would be used to get his attention and be reminded he's going to have to prepare to meet you one day. Lord, I lift up Barry and Nancy as they get ready to go up to Houston this week and begin treatments. Pray you'd get them there safely. Father, I pray you'd provide. I pray that you would take care of them. Lord, I pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom and these treatments would address things that need to be addressed and take care of the cancer in his body. And Lord, thank you again for everybody that's here this morning. I pray you bless each soul for being here. And those that are traveling, get them home safely. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, farming life's valley. So here's Isaac. He moves into Gerar. The Bible says he departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. And it's going to be a good illustration of a Christian living his life, her life, and going through some valleys. There are several things that happen here in these verses that we will liken to the Christian life. And first of all, I will say, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, that's the first thing to do. When I say Christian, I'm not talking about people who say they're Christians. We're talking about someone who has trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Exclusively, not Jesus Christ plus a bunch of other stuff, but trusted Jesus Christ because he's the only one that has even offered salvation, and he's the only one that can provide salvation. No one else can even provide that. Salvation means salvation from this body of death. Salvation means he will give you a new body, he will give you righteousness, and he will give you the opportunity to settle out of court your account with God. And you want to settle that out of court. You don't want to go to court with that. You don't want to end up before God at the white throne judgment and try to explain, because there won't be any explaining at that time. So when I say Christian, that's what I mean. I'll give you a little description of that. Someone who has settled out of court with God, someone who has trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And now we'll use these verses, we'll take these verses, and I want to show you some things about farming life's valley. So verse 17, notice he says this, the valley isn't a permanent place. It's not meant to be permanent. It says, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. All right, so if he pitched his tent, this is a temporary thing. And valleys in this life are supposed to be temporary things. They're ups and they're downs. You're not supposed to live in the valley, but valleys are temporary things. Isaac is not building a permanent residence here. He's passing through. Valleys for God's people, saved people, are temporary. As I think DeWitt Talmage said at the Ministry of Tears, he said it's meant, when you're in the valley, one of the things that happens is it keeps this world from becoming too comfortable, too appealing, too attractive to you. You go through the valley, and the valley shows you what the world actually is. Where's the end of this thing? You know, the end of this thing, what's happened with Anne Marie this week and thousands of other people this week, They have come to the end of what everyone comes to, the end of their life in this body. And that means grief for those who are still living. It means sorrow. But it is an inevitable thing that the body will fail and your soul will be called to account. And it's an inevitable thing. But the valleys in this life, you go through these valleys, they're temporary. They should be temporary. And notice, as Isaac, he pitches his tent. He doesn't build the permanent residence there. Second thing I notice in verse 18. You're going to find in the valley some things that you can't find on the mountaintop. Look at verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. God's provision, here's the second point. God's provision in the valley isn't new. It often feels like it's new because I think grief and sorrow are such a lonely feeling. But God's provision in that valley with Isaac, what he does is he finds wells that were already dug by Abraham. And so that means the provisions that were already there made by someone else. As a Christian, you find provisions already made in the valley by Jesus Christ. You know, when you find comfort, it's at a point in life when you need some comfort. You know, when you get down low and you need some hope and you're thinking about all the tragedies of life, you know, that's the mix of emotions is, I'm stuck here, but I know there's something better. I know there's more, but I'm stuck here. God's provision in the valley isn't new. It's not new. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, for instance, says he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. That was his life, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And so you'll find that you get to the valley, and though the valley is lonely, and the valley is isolated, and the valley feels like you're the only one there, you find that you're not the only one there, and there's been other people here in the valley. And there's been provision made for the others that were in the valley. So Isaac finds and he digs again, the Bible says, the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham. Verse 19, along those lines, needs are met in the valley. Look in verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So the well that they find is not just the water table. I mean, they find a well that is flowing with water. It's coming out. But they didn't find that well on the mountaintop. That's the correlation. They weren't on the mountaintop of high life experience when they found that well. When they found that well flowing with water, they were down in the valley. Make sense? They were down. Needs are met in the valley. You know, treasure is so indicative of God to do things in nature that illustrate spiritual truths. So often you find treasure and it's buried. It's not out in the open. It's something that you find under the ground. It's something that you find low. It's something that's not obvious to everyone. And oftentimes you find treasure in unexpected places. You go through a valley in life, you know, you go through a valley in life and you find the grace of God in a way you had never found it before. And you thought, you know, I wouldn't have found this here. I wouldn't have found this if I hadn't been in this valley. I remember, I know I've told you guys the story, and all of y'all are familiar, most of y'all are anyway, familiar with burying children. A lot of y'all are. I remember when we buried Sarah, there are some things that you find in that valley that you would never find on the mountaintop. You can't find that treasure up on the mountain. You got to go into the valley and dig around, and now you find the provision of God, and the provision of God is maybe not in a place you thought it was, but it's in a place you needed it to be.
You say you don't need it. You feel like you don't need the provision of God on the mountaintop.
You feel like everything's okay, and hey, that's a lot of the problems that the world has with God. They don't see the need for God. But then you get low, and you get through a place where it's lonely, it's painful, there's hurt involved, and you find that you have some need, and then you realize God's met the need. He has provision for the need in the valley. The Bible says Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and they digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. God's grace is found in the valley. Paul said this, he said, "When I am weak, then am I strong. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness." I know all of you guys you have instances in your life, you have times in your life, you have things that you could testify about where you went into a valley of life and you found what you found what was in that valley. You found some treasure that God had buried in that valley that you wouldn't have found had you never gone through that valley. And you wouldn't have that treasure if you weren't in the valley. You would have never found it on the mountaintop. You would have never found it on the plains. You had to go down into the valley to find it. Needs are met in the valley. Sometimes you look in verse 20 and 21, when you get to the valley, you find people who live in the valley. You find people who stay in the valley. Look in verse 20. "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah." So now he's run into some valley dwellers. People who live in the valley and people who want to claim the valley as their own. You get in the valley and here's the people who live there, the perpetual victims. Well, that's nothing. You don't know what happened to me. You understand? Well, your case is nothing. You don't know what's happened in my life. My life is so tragic. So horrible. There's no way I could ever get out of this valley. And so everything I do is because my life is so tragic. But oftentimes you find the ones that are in the valley, if you were to make a comparison, I find people who have been through really actually tough times and are saved are actually a lot more joyful people. You would never think they've been through a valley. And the people who live in the valley are people who really, you hear their problems and you're kind of like, well, that's kind of normal. That's kind of what everyone goes through. But they feel like you don't understand my life. You don't understand all this. I have a reason I'm this way. The reason is because my life is this way. And they just live in the valley. And they want to claim the valley for their own. And so here's Isaac, and he finds a well of water in the valley, and these people show up and they say, "Hey, this is our valley. You can't live here. You don't get this. This is our valley. We live here." Go along with the allegory here. The perpetual victims who live in the valley all their life, and when they find someone else in the valley, all they want to do is steal the blessings in the valley. "Well, you don't understand. You don't understand where I'm coming from." I'll say this. When you get to the judgment, you know what you don't find God doing? God never asks anyone why they did what they did. Do you know that? He never says, "Why did you do that?"
There was a, this week, I have a story, and I won't tell you names or anything. But there was a kid who, now I'm remembering where I heard the story. It's one of y'all. You'll know it whenever you hear it, but just don't say anything about it. All right, I'll tell it to you, and the one who told it will start laughing when they hear it. Anyway, so there's a kid who stole some things from a teacher. Okay, and all your teachers are like, yeah, well, that's everybody. And stole some things from a teacher, and the teacher calls the mom, and it explains, no, this child stole some things from my desk. And the question was, well, why did they steal? You know what God doesn't ask? He doesn't ask why. You know what the problem is? You're a thief. You stole. At the judgment, there is no, okay, well, you stole, but let's consider, why did you do that? That verse isn't in the Bible. It's just, what did you do? Here's the words of God. Did it match what's in here? And everywhere it doesn't match what's in here, you're accountable for what you did. So you want to be very careful about making excuses for sin. You want to be very careful about saying, I do this because I was raised this way, because I had this happen in my life, because I had this going on. You want to be very careful about that, because you don't find those kind of questions in the Bible. You find people accountable for the light that they're given, and everywhere they deviate, for him knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, he didn't do good because... For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Going back to the valley dwellers, hey, this is our valley. We live here. You can't claim victimhood, or you can't claim, your life is just, you don't even understand my life. God never asked to understand it. And so, Isaac goes in the valley, he digs a well, he finds a well springing with water, and then the valley dwellers come and say, hey, give us the well. This is ours. We live here. You get the idea. He finds the valley dwellers. Notice about the valley dwellers this. Notice about the valley dwellers this. Valley dwellers, that they live in the valley, but they can't seem to get the same blessings that Isaac could get. Isaac seemed to be able to find the treasure in the valley, whereas the people who live there can't find the thing they're living around. Why didn't the people of Gerar dig the wells? Why weren't they involved in getting the blessings of God? No, what they do is they find someone who got the blessings of God, and then they go try to steal those blessings. Why? Because they can't mind the blessings themselves. So here's these herdmen of Gerar. They say, this is our valley. Well, if it's your valley, why weren't you digging wells? Why have you been here this whole time not digging wells? Why are you still here? We dig the wells, and then you want to come take them. The valley dwellers notice that they don't know how to get their needs met in the valley. So they just try to steal the blessings from others. These valley dwellers, they don't dig wells. They wait for wells to be dug, then steal the provision. The perpetual victim. Hey, this is our valley. But Isaac pursues. He presses on, and he digs another well. He digs three wells. And then in verse 22, he gets to a well that they don't contend for. Verse 22 says, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So fruitfulness is a result, is the result of God's blessings in the valley. You know, when the Lord talks about in John chapter 10 and 15, talks about my father is the vine dresser, I'm the vine, all that analogy he makes. And he talks about the branches that bear fruit get pruned. And the reason they get pruned is so that they'll bear more fruit. So fruit bearing is sort of punctuated by a purging process. So God cleans the thing up. He cuts off the lifeless branches so that the ones that will bear fruit will bear more fruit. And it's a process. This bears fruit. You do some pruning, bear more fruit, do more pruning. So it's a process. It's an up and down. In the life of a Christian, what that looks like is up here, down here. Purging, pruning, fruitfulness. Purging, pruning, fruitfulness. Purging, pruning, fruitfulness. And so Isaac digs another well, and he says, now the land will be fruitful. And fruitfulness is the result of God's provisions in the valley. You know, Solomon said this regarding valleys and making that illustration. He said it was better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. In fact, I'll show it to you. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. This was one of the things one of the preachers said at pastor school. It was really good. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. Fruitfulness is the result of God's blessings in the valley. So you're going to get things you need in the valley that you're not going to get anywhere else. Solomon's take on it is this. Ecclesiastes 7:2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. All right, so here's a little application. You've got Isaac bearing fruit as a result of what he found in the valley. God, through Solomon, is saying you will be better to spend your time in the house of mourning than in the house of mirth. I'll give you an illustration. There will be a funeral at some point here for Anne Marie, and I don't think it'll be here. It sounds like it'll be in Bay City or Baytown. And so there will be at that funeral people who will face a reality they don't usually have to think about, or they don't think about. So what you find in the house of mourning are the realities of life. And when Solomon says it's better to go to the house of mourning, meaning you will be made better by considering the realities of life than you will by being at football game, baseball game. You won't be made better by that. There's no need at that. No one's needed there. There's no grace there. There's just excitement and happiness, and that's fine. It's all entertainment. But you're not going to be made better by it. I was watching the end of the Astros game last night. And, in the ninth inning, they're hit a home run and all that stuff. And score went up, Everybody's happy and cheering, and at least on the Houston side. Boston was just, what happened? And you watch all that, and there's all this excitement, and watch the ball go over the fence, and everybody's jumping and cheering. And there's excitement in all that, but you know what's not there? people being made better for it. No one was made better for all that. But when people go to the house of mourning and have to think about the realities of life, then they can be made better now. Now they can find, you can find the improvements of life there. You can find that needs are there in the house of mourning where they're not there in the house of mirth. God's grace is in the house of mourning, not in the house of mirth. Realities in life are faced there. The point is, Solomon said, look, it's better to do this than this. You're not going to get any value out of this other than entertainment value, but your life isn't going to be better because of it. Now, on this hand, in the house of mourning, your life can be made better because of it. Going back to Isaac, he goes in the valley, he finds God's provision, and because he found the provision he needed in the valley, he said, now our lives will be fruitful. Because we went through the valley, we got something in the valley we wouldn't have normally got, and now will our land and our lives be fruitful. Fruitfulness, the point is, fruitfulness is the result of God's blessing in the valley. Then going back to Genesis 26, verse 23 and 24. The valley experience would bring a renewed relationship with God. Verse 23, Genesis 26, 23. The Bible says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. So he comes out of the valley and he goes to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. The valley experience would bring a renewed relationship with God. And notice what God says to Isaac. He's just like a Christian in this. He comes out of the valley, and the Lord reminds him, I'm going to bless you for Abraham's sake. As Christians, we're not blessed because we're great people or any of that. The blessings and the love of God are found in Jesus Christ. They're based on someone else. If you ever get the idea, I'm going to throw before God all of my good stuff and all that, you know, we talked about it Wednesday. Your blessings, the blessings of God, are found in Jesus Christ. And if you want the blessings of God, if you want the love of God, if you want the care of God, it's in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord tells Isaac, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Because of him, I'll bless you. The valley experience would bring a renewed relationship with God. Here's Isaac coming out of the valley, getting alone with God, and getting a renewed promise, a reinforced relationship here with God after coming out of the valley. And that valley experience would bring that renewed relationship. And then Isaac does something. He builds an altar in verse 25. And it's interesting where he builds the altar. He doesn't build the altar in the valley. He comes out of the valley. And he builds the altar away from the valley, but to remember the valley. Here's the idea. You want to remember the valley, and you will remember the valley, but you don't need to go back to the valley and live in the valley to experience the blessings that came out of the valley. You don't need to live there to experience the blessing. So he comes out of the valley. The relationship with God is renewed. He builds an altar, verse 25, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Remember the valley. Notice he calls on the name of the Lord, same words Paul uses in Romans chapter 10. So he doesn't build the altar in the valley. And the idea is, you don't have to go back in the valley to remember the valley. The experiences of the valley are useful. You found some provision from God in the valley, but you don't need to live in the valley in order to remember the valley.
I know every so often, we don't do it very much anymore because we just live out here in Beeville. And when we were in Corpus, you know, every so often we would go back to the gravesite of Sarah and visit it. You know, you sweep it up and just, you know, remember some things. And it reminded us of a few things. You go back to that tombstone, and she has just a little pillow, you know. And she's buried next to my sister, who also died at birth. And they, you know, they're small enough at the time, you know. You can fit two of them in the grave. So there's two of them there, actually in the same grave. But there's two pillows there. And it got their names on it and all that stuff. But you go there, we go there, and you're reminded of the valley. You're reminded of the sorrow of a dead child. But I don't have to live in that sorrow, because it also reminds me of this. The reality that neither we, Mary Beth and I, or Sarah live in that valley anymore. We're not there. She's with the Lord, and we're beyond that point in our life. We don't have to live in that valley. So there's some sorrow with it. There's some memories associated with it. But I don't have to go back in the valley to remember the things I got in the valley. It was a valley we all passed through. And here's the important, one of the important things about it. It's a valley we all pass through. And it's a valley that every soul was made better for passing through it. It's tragic. And I know some of you can have similar testimonies. But you know, number one, the soul's made better by one soul is with Jesus Christ. Mom and dad are better now for experiencing tragedy and comfort and the grace of God and finding a well flowing with water in a valley, and now I can take that water and maybe share it with some other folks in the valley. Some of you guys here, if you're alive, you are in a valley, you're getting ready to go through a valley, or you're coming out of a valley. It's the way life is. Many of you have altars around valleys. You remember areas of life and circumstances and things where the Lord helped you. And it maybe it's at some point, maybe you weren't saved at that point in time, and you can't remember the help of the Lord. But if you're saved, you can remember distinctly how the Lord ministered through that time. I remember specifically things that came to mind and things that I was reminded of that helped provide the grace of God in a turbulent time. Like I said, some of you here are in a valley, you're getting ready to go through a valley, or you're coming out of a valley. And in Jesus Christ, those valleys can get farmed. That's what Isaac does. There's value in that valley. There's treasure there. And there's treasure that you're not going to find on a mountaintop. You're not going to be able to get it in a mountaintop. Here's a verse you're very familiar with, I'm very sure. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." A couple things about that. That verse doesn't say all things work together for good for every person on the earth. That says all things work together for good in Jesus Christ to those who are the called according to his purpose, and who those who he says at the beginning there, all things work together for
to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. It would be a tragedy to go through a valley and not find the treasure you're supposed to find in the valley because you didn't go through it with Jesus Christ. But with the Lord, he says, look, I can make something out of this. I will show you where the buried treasure is there. I will point you in the right direction. And all of this that seemingly seems bad and is bad, not that it's not bad, not that it just seems bad, it is bad. Tragic. The Lord says, all right, I will take this situation and I will make it turn out for you becoming better. It will be a help to you in the end. Here's a verse. I'll wrap it up with this verse. If you're a Christian, our perspective of the valleys of life are this. You farm the valley. Doesn't mean you're not lonely in the valley. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to be just, you know, stoic through the valley. Yeah, you have emotions in the valley. You deal with things in the valley. But there's value in that valley. You get fruit from that valley, and then you share the fruit. Let me show you a verse. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me get you to look at this one, and this will be the last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, regarding farming the valleys and then sharing the fruit of that farming. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what that is? That is Isaac telling somebody else, getting ready to go through the valley, hey, I know where a well is there. I know where you can get water there. I know, because I've been through that valley. I can show you where the water is there. There is water in that valley. I mean, other people have been through this one. And there's water in there. The Lord says he's going to provide comfort with the intention that once you're comforted now, you're able to pass on that comfort to the next person going through that valley. Farming life's valleys is a great illustration of a Christian going through life's valleys, and I thought maybe it would be appropriate, and it just things on my mind, things on y'all's mind too, with all the things kind of going on with folks in our congregation. Farming life's valleys. In Jesus Christ, there is value in those valleys. But I have to say, without Jesus Christ, there is no value in the valley. The valley is just a tragedy. It's just another step in life. It's just another thing to go through. And you may not be made better for it. But in Jesus Christ, you'll find the well in the valley.